Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
Have you ever been driving along and maybe you thought you had a little more fuel in your tank than you actually did when all of a sudden that little warning light comes on letting you know that you are almost out of gas? You have a choice to make. Do you just keep going, ignore the light, keep going, or do you pull off somewhere so that you can fill back up once again? This actually happened to me a couple of weeks ago. Emily has been taking guitar lessons in Lavernia, and I had been driving a little more than normal. If you didn't know this, my commute to work is not that far, so I typically don't have to pay attention to my fuel level, but I had been driving more than usual, going to Seguin, Floresville, Lavernia, and so on the way back from Emily's guitar lesson, that little fuel light came on, and I realized, oh man, I don't have as much gas in the tank as I thought I did, and so I had to stop at Circle K and fill up before going back home. So we've been in this series for the last several weeks titled Next Steps, and throughout this series, I've asked us to ask this question, where am I in my walk with the Lord? Now, we're going to wrap this series up this morning, and we're going to start something new next week, but throughout this series, I've asked us, where am I in my walk with the Lord? And subsequently, as we recognize where we are in our walk with the Lord, to ask this question, what is my next step? Because this is what I know happens all too often in our lives. We get going, and maybe we're going pretty strong, and we don't realize that maybe we've begun to coast along the way. Maybe we've become stagnant. Maybe we're low on fuel. We're just going along, and we've become stagnant in our walk with the Lord. And so my desire throughout this series has been to be like that little warning light, to be an indicator, to come on, to cause us to pause and to reflect and to ask ourselves, where am I in my walk with the Lord? Am I stalled out? Am I stagnant? Am I still going strong? Where am I in my walk with the Lord? And what steps do I need to take so I can continue to move forward? And so throughout this series, I've provided for us some very clear next steps. Now understand, the steps that I've given, this is not a comprehensive list of all the steps, right? Because as believers, we are to continually be growing in our walks with the Lord. We're to continually be moving forward in our walks with the Lord. But I've provided some very clear next steps that in particular have to do with us here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. And so we began by talking about that first step of salvation, surrendering our life to Jesus Christ as Lord. Understand, if you have never taken that step, that is still the first step that you need to take. Before you take any other step, you need to first take that step of surrendering your life to Jesus Christ as Lord. Before baptism, before church membership, before serving, before growing, before you take any of those other steps, you need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ as Lord. But then we talked about those next steps. We talked about baptism, of publicly professing our faith in Christ in that way. We talked about taking that step of becoming a member of a local church body. We talked about getting into God's Word and growing in God's Word. And we've talked about getting plugged in serving last week. And so all of those are still steps that you may need to take. But this morning, we're going to talk about one final step, and that is the step of giving. Now understand, right? We can give of our time, we can give of our energy, we can give of our resources, but specifically, we're going to be talking this morning about giving of our finances. Now, I realize this can be somewhat of a challenging thing for us to talk about, but I want you to realize that just as much as God calls us to salvation, just as much as God calls us to grow, just as much as God calls us to serve, God calls us to give of our finances. And so if that's something that God calls us to do, then I think it's important for us to take an honest look at God's word so that we can take this next step of obedience together. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 7 through 12 this morning. Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. Now, as you're turning there, I want to set this up for you. The book of Malachi is written by the prophet Malachi. And in the time that Malachi is writing this book, the people of Judah, the Israelites, were living in the promised land. However, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, if you're familiar with the story of the Israelites, then you know that the Israelites have this pattern of walking in obedience to God, but then when things start going well, they begin to turn from God and they begin to rebel against God. And so God has to bring them back into obedience again. God has to remind them to walk in obedience once again. This is exactly what we see happening here in the book of Malachi. God's people had become lethargic in their worship of the Lord. Their parents had experienced great blessings as a result of their obedience to God. But as their parents experienced these blessings, the children of the Israelites, the children began to become apathetic and maybe even somewhat entitled. And it seems as though that they had forgotten that what belonged to God and what belonged to them. That they began to believe that what they had was simply of their own doing, and it all belonged to them and them alone. And so what we see happening here is God once again speaking to the Israelites in the midst of their rebellion, in the midst of their apathy, and he's calling them back to obedience. He's calling them back to a right relationship with him once again. And I think this is a good reminder for us today as we think about where we are in our walks with the Lord. Listen, whether you gave your life to Christ 20 years ago or whether you gave your life to Christ 2 months ago, if you would say the place where I am, where I'm in right now, is in rebellion to the Lord, I'm walking in disobedience to God, I want you to hear me. God is calling you back to a right relationship with him once again. You see, I think it can be very easy for us, like the Israelites, to become apathetic. And in our apathy, to give ourselves over to our sin. And this is what I see happen time and time again. Because we love our sin, as we give ourselves over to our sin, instead of turning back and walking in obedience to God, we twist Scripture so that we can justify our sin, so that we can remain in our sin. But bottom line, what we're doing is walking in rebellion against God. And so if that's where you would find yourself, if you would say, man, I am living in rebellion against God, whether you gave your life to Christ a long time ago or recently, if you are walking and living in rebellion, hear this again, God is calling you back to a right relationship with him once again. And praise God that this right relationship with him is afforded to us through Jesus Christ. Now, with the Israelites here in our passage, God speaks directly to their hearts by addressing their lack of desire, their lack of willingness to give faithfully and obediently of their finances to the Lord. So with that in mind, we're going to read Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. Says, since the days of your ancestors, you have turned from my statutes. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of armies. Yet you ask, how can we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. How do we rob you, you ask? By not making the payments of the tenth and the contributions. You're suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of armies. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that you will not ruin the produce of your land, and your vine in your field will not fail to produce fruit, says the Lord of armies. Then all the nations will consider you fortunate, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of armies. Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting for you there what we see in verse 7. In verse 7, God, through the prophet Malachi, gives his people both a reminder and a call. The reminder for them is that they have once again turned from him, that they are living in, that they're walking in rebellion. They have not been walking in obedience to God's statutes. So he gives us a reminder that they're walking in obedience, but then he gives them a call to return to him. And at the end of verse 7, God says that the people have asked this question, how can we return? Now, I want to hang out there on that question for just a moment because we could understand that question in a couple of ways. As we think about this question, how can we return, we could understand them to be saying, it seems impossible to return. As they think about just how far their hearts are from God, it could easily feel as if there's this impossibility to return, as if there's this impossibility to get back into that right relationship with God. Maybe you have felt that way at times. That, man, I feel like I'm so far from God. How can I possibly return? And it would be true that they would be unable to return were it not for the grace and mercy of God. The mere fact that God is addressing their sin is a reminder that God is full of mercy and full of grace. Even when they have rebelled time and time again, God's mercy and God's grace calls them back to him once again. And that's true in our life as well. Because of God's mercy and grace, when we rebel, God calls us back to him once again. And so if you're in that place where you would say, man, I feel like I've done too much. I feel like I've gone too far. How can I possibly return to God? I want you to hear me. It's never too late to return. It is never too late to return. As long as there's breath in your lungs, as long as you're still alive on this earth, because of God's mercy and grace, that opportunity to return to him remains. It's never too late to return. And so as we think about this question, how can we return? We could think of it as, man, it seems impossible to return. But we could also simply just understand this question, how can we return, as a simple matter of fact. What do we need to do to return? And God responds to them by speaking specifically about giving financially. He says, if you want to return, it begins by giving financially. Now understand, there's more than just giving of our finances that God is addressing here. So there's a movie that came out back in 2000 by the name of Return to Me, starring Minnie Driver and David Duchovny. In this movie, David Duchovny's wife is killed in a tragic car accident, and Minnie Driver is someone that needs a heart transplant, and so David Duchovny's wife's heart goes to Minnie Driver. And as fate would have it, Minnie Driver and David Duchovny cross paths, and they fall in love. So David Duchovny's wife's heart literally returns to him. Now, if you think that I spoiled the movie for you, it came out in 2000, 25 years ago. So, I mean, you should have watched it already. But But I want you to understand, as God begins to talk about finances, as he begins to talk about giving to his people, it's not just that he wants our money. In fact, I would say it this way: God's desire is not for our finances. God's desire is for our hearts. You see, it's not just that the people weren't giving of their finances. That was true. But their hearts were far from him. And this is what God knows about his creation, right? He created us. This is what God knows about us. He knows our inner workings. And he knows that so often our hearts are intertwined with our finances. And so if we're going to give of our hearts to the Lord, then many times that's intertwined with our finances. In fact, Matthew 6:21 says it this way: "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so this call for the Israelites, this call for us to give obediently to the Lord, is a call for us to give our hearts to the Lord. So let me say it again: God's desire is not for our finances. God's desire is for our hearts. And so as we consider that, the next step that God could be calling us to is this next step of giving of our finances, this next step of giving financially to the Lord. There are three things that I want you to understand this morning. First, giving is an act of obedience. In verse 8, God tells the people of Israel that they are robbing God. And they ask God, "How do we rob you?" And God tells them, "You're not giving faithfully. You're not giving of your finances." So back when I was in second grade, we came home from school one day to find police in our driveway. My dad was standing out talking to the police. Someone had broken into our house, going through my parents' back bedroom window. And if I remember the story correctly, I think our neighbor saw them breaking into my parents' bedroom, and they called the police. Now, they took a few different things, but the joke was somewhat on them, because one thing that they took from us was a VCR that had been struck by lightning and it didn't work anymore. But as God tells his people that they're robbing him, it's not about what they're taking from God. It was about what they were keeping for themselves. Well, what were they keeping for themselves? Verse 8 says that they were keeping payments of the tenth and contributions. Now, that's the way the CSB translates it. The New King James Version translates it by saying something a little more familiar to us. It says, "In tithes and offerings." In other words, God's people had not been giving their tithes or their offerings to the Lord. Well, what is the tithe? Well, that word tithe literally means tenth. The tithe is meant to be the very first tenth, a tenth of your first fruits given to the Lord. Whatever we receive, we give a tenth back to the Lord. And this is just an easy way that I practice this. Whatever I receive, I give a tenth back to the Lord. Whether that's my salary, whether that's birthday money, whether that's money that I might receive for doing funerals or weddings, whatever I receive, I give a tenth back to the Lord. Now, I'm not legalistic on that, but that just helps me practice giving back to the Lord faithfully and giving my tithe to the Lord. But beyond simply our tithes or that tenth, there's also mention of contributions or offerings. Well, what is offerings? Why do we see tithes and offerings here, or the tenth and the contributions here? Well, the tithe is the tenth. The offerings or the contributions are anything and everything that we give above and beyond the tithe. And this is, again, just the way that I practice this, just to help you a little bit. When I give my tithe, the tenth, I give that to our general fund here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. Undesignated, I just give it to the general fund. The general fund is what funds our budget here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. So I give that to the general fund, but then anything that I give above and beyond my tenth. Well, that's the funds that I might designate. I might designate that to the youth and children's building. I might designate that to a scholarship for Disciple Now Weekend, or what I give above and beyond, it may be giving to Compassion International, or it may be a missionary that I'm supporting outside of this church. But anything that I give above and beyond my tithe, I designate that however I desire. But listen, bottom line, tithes and offerings, giving faithfully to the Lord, is something that God has called His people to do. And it's not new. This wasn't created with the church. God has always called His people to give to Him faithfully. In fact, we see the tithe going all the way back to the book of Genesis with Cain and Abel. If you know the story of Cain and Abel and why Cain killed Abel, it's because Abel's offering, Abel's sacrifice to the Lord was accepted while Cain's was rejected. Well, why was Cain's rejected and Abel's accepted? Abel's was accepted because he gave his first fruits to the Lord. He gave that tenth to the Lord. But Cain, he just gave some. He just gave his leftovers to the Lord. And I think that can be so tempting for us at times. I'm going to pay this bill and this bill. I'm going to buy this and this. And then whatever I have left over, I might give to the Lord. And we just give our leftovers to the Lord. But God has not called us to just give of our leftovers. He's called to give Him the best, the first fruits to the Lord. And so we want to give because we want to be obedient to what God has called us to do. So giving's an act of obedience. Second, giving is an act of trust. In verse 10, God says, "See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure." In other words, God is giving this reminder that God is the one who takes care of the giver. Right? We're not the ones that take care of ourselves. We're not the one that provides for ourselves. God is the one who takes care of the giver. And He gives this reminder that He has so much more stored up than what we could ever think of giving. "See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure." Now, don't misunderstand me. I am not saying give to God so you can get, right? If that's where our heart is, I'm going to give so I can get. Well, now my heart is still focused on the things of this world. My heart is still focused on those tangible things. And so God is not saying give so you can get. But what we're being told is give and trust that God is going to take care of you when you give. I've shared time and time again stories of how God has taken care of our family when we've given obediently, when it seemed like such a sacrifice, when it was difficult for us to give, how God took care of us. Two of those occasions were stories of God providing a tank of gas, because my struggle in the moment of giving was, God, how am I even going to be able to get a tank of gas this month? And then I go to a gas station and someone buys my gas for me. And it's like God is saying, I'm the one that provides. You're not the one that provides. I'm the one that provides. A tank of gas, that's nothing for God. And so when we give and we give obediently and we trust God, what we see is that God takes care of us even when it's difficult. Giving is an act of trust. You know, as we think about giving being an act of trust, written on every single one of our bills are four words: "In God we trust." And I find that a little funny because I think that it's our finances that we seem to struggle to trust God the most with, right? We have it written on our bills, "In God we trust," but we struggle to trust God the most with our finances. We want to be in control. I want to be in control of what I do with my finances. But God calls us to release control into His hands and trust that he's going to do with what we give things that we couldn't ever do if we kept it in our own hands. And so as God calls us to give faithfully of our tithes and our offerings to him, it's like he's saying to us, don't let God, in God we trust, only be on your bills. Let it be on your hearts. Hear that again. Don't let in God we trust only be on your bills. Let it be on your hearts. Giving reflects our trust in the Lord. But God also gives a promise in verse 12. He says, then all the nations will consider you fortunate, for you will be a delightful land. Now, he's speaking to the Israelites collectively here, but I believe that this is a promise to every single individual that gives faithfully to the Lord, that when we give faithfully to the Lord, we are going to see his hand taking care of us. But not only that, others will take note of it as well. Others will see how God has taken care of us as well. So trust him. Giving is an act of obedience, and giving is an act of trust. Finally, this morning, giving is an investment. In verse 10, God says, bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. When we bring the full tenth into the storehouse, when we give it to God, God uses it to accomplish his purposes. Giving is an investment. So this is where I want to get very practical for us here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. Because when you give your tithes and your offerings right here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, I want you to understand you aren't just giving to some organization. You are giving to a church that is fully committed to accomplishing God's purposes, to furthering the gospel in our community and around the world. And furthermore, I would say this, it is a church that you are a part of. If you're a member of this church, if you attend this church consistently, this is a church you're a part of. Remember, the church is not the building or the budget. The church is the people. We are the church. And so we are to come together and pull our resources together so that we can accomplish God's kingdom purposes together. But also, when you give your tithes and your offerings to the Lord right here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, not only do you celebrate what God has already done for the first 150 years, but you get to participate in what God is doing to continue to raise up a future generation of leaders, a future generation of servants, so that our church can continue long into the future. Now, specifically, when you give your tithes and your offerings to the general fund, you're helping to provide the finances and resources for children's choir, for our student ministry, for vacation Bible school, for camps, for Disciple Now, for Sunday morning growth groups, and so much more. Plus, you're supporting your church staff. Not only that, when you give your tithe to the general fund, a portion of that goes to the Southern Baptist Convention, which is how we partner with other Baptist churches around the world to send missionaries around the world. It also goes to a portion of what you give to the general fund. It goes to the Gambrel Association, which is our local association of Baptist churches. It's how we connect with other Baptist churches, how we partner with other Baptist churches in our local area. All of that is made possible when you give your tithe to the general fund. And then when you give above and beyond, if you give your offerings here at this church, there are plenty of ways that you can designate those offerings, whether that's to the youth and children's building, whether that's to give a scholarship to camp or to Disciple Now Weekend, whether it's to give to the food pantry, or whether it's to give to the Hope Fund, which helps support benevolence in our community and in our church. All of these are ways that you can designate your offerings so that you can be effective in what you're giving. But I would encourage you, don't just see what you give as a sacrifice. Now, it is a sacrifice, and I believe God has called us to sacrificially give. But understand, as God calls us to sacrificially give, God is not calling us to do something that He Himself has not already done in the biggest way possible through Jesus Christ. God is the most sacrificial of givers, but God calls us to give sacrificially as well. But it's not just a sacrifice, it's an investment. It is an investment into God's kingdom work. And I want you to hear me. It is a worthy investment with an eternal impact. It is a worthy investment with an eternal impact. It is a sacrifice, but it's not just a sacrifice. It is an investment as well. Giving is an act of obedience. It's an act of trust, and it is an investment. And maybe giving financially is the step that you need to begin taking today. But if you've never taken that first step of salvation through Jesus Christ, don't begin taking that step of giving financially just yet. All right, you're never going to be able to give enough in order to earn your salvation. Your salvation is afforded to you, not by what you can give, but by what Jesus gave on the cross. And so if you've never surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, before you take any other step, first take that step. And if you need to do that, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. Just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing, this is going to be your opportunity to respond to what the Lord is doing today. And if that's you, if today you need to respond by making Jesus the Lord of your life, then I would invite you to come. I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Maybe you're here, though, and you would say, I've given my life to Christ already, but I've never taken that next step of baptism to publicly profess my faith in Christ in that way. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Today, we can make that commitment together. Maybe you're here, though, and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church, Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to connect my life with this body of believers right here in Stockdale. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. But maybe you're here and you would say, you know what? The truth is I have not been obedient to God in this area of giving, and that's the next step that I need to take. Listen, I would just encourage you, make that commitment to the Lord right where you're at today, and then begin taking those steps forward to begin giving obediently. But whatever it is that the Lord's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently to the Lord. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.